This is December 29th, and I'm in the home of Mr. Samuel Puryear from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, just checking to see if the recorder's working well. Okay, no, you don't have to. It's up, so you don't really have to.
Okay, my name is Samuel Puryear. Presently, I'm principal at South Park High School in Winston-Salem. I have 25 years in education. I got my bachelor's degree from Winston-Salem State University, master's from A&T State University, and my EDS degree from Appalachian State University. And boom, I've done further study at Wake Forest. I'm aware that this conversation is being recorded.
All right. I'm pleased that you have consented to interview with me this morning, Mr. Puryear, because I know how it is on Saturday mornings, and I really appreciate this. I want you to tell me the research that I'm doing. I'm interviewing principals of high schools, black high school principals in 1989, and I'm also interviewing the principals from 1964. And I just want you to tell me about the high school where you were principal in 1989. Tell me how you became a high school principal.
I was an assistant principal. Well, first of all, I have 25 years experience in the school system, 19 of those years in the high school. I was an assistant principal for 16 years in the high school, and this is my fourth year as being a principal. I am now, however, employed in a high school. Last year, I was a principal at Parkland High School. We had enrollment of 1,300 plus students.
All right. How did you become the principal of Parkland?
Well, I guess through hard work. I was the assistant principal there for 7 years, and the principal was moved to the central office as an assistant superintendent. And the other assistant principal was named a principal at a middle school. And the other assistant principal, there were three of us, mm-hmm. left and went out of town. And that left me. And I guess they wanted someone familiar with the school to remain. So that's how I became principal there.
I see. I want you to tell me something more about the school, the racial composition, and the number of people you had to supervise.
Okay. Parkland had about 35% minority. 99% minority were black. We had about 86 teachers. Well, I would say we had about 110 faculty and staff members at Parkland High School. We drew from the low socioeconomic classes from the minority, and the whites were at the upper extreme, the British Woods section. So we really had a gap there between the abilities of the students and their socioeconomic positions.
How did you go about supervising your personnel and how did you select your teachers?
Okay, I had three assistant principals. I divided my assistant principals into disciplines. My English and mathematics had more English and math teachers, so I had one administrator working with that group. Then I had another assistant principal working with disciplines such as business, social studies, arts, music. Then I had my third assistant principal working with some of the other disciplines. I had all the initially certified teachers, plus the librarians, the guidance counselors. We had something like 20 plus people to supervise and evaluate annually. Whenever I interviewed for a position, I always included my assistant principals. I asked for their input and I got it, but it was always my decision as to the person that I would hire. I personally tried to hire as many qualified minority people as I could get my hands on. And a lot of times it was very difficult finding these people. Because they were not in the stacks that were given to me at central office. Mm-hmm. I've even had to call Raleigh. One particular instance, I wanted a home economics teacher, and we didn't have any black applicants on file. I called Augustus White, who was in charge of home economics for the state of North Carolina, and she got me a girl out of Greenville, North Carolina. Mm. So I tried everything to find qualified minorities. However, I wouldn't turn down any qualified majority people either.
Were you trying to secure some minority teachers because of your minority population?
Exactly right. And because I didn't have at the time but 11 minority teachers out of about 86 teachers. Mm-hmm. And I needed some more minority teachers.
Mm-hmm. Once you made your decision about who you, after the interview, who you really wanted to hire, did you submit their name to the personnel?
I did. I would call personnel director and tell the personnel director person whom I was interested in and person that I wanted. And 10 times out of 10, I would get that person.
Very good. What about curriculum and instruction?
Okay. I think that the principal is the curriculum leader at his school. He or she sets the tone as to how the teachers teach, what the teachers teach. He helps in the selection of their methodology. the principal has an awesome task in the senior high school with the number of people that are there working, trying to oversee all of them. It's almost humanly impossible. Therefore, he has to get his assistant principals on task. And he has to let his assistant principals know exactly what he wants from his teachers, because it's humanly impossible for the principal to oversee every teacher in every class all the time. You just can't do it. So what you do, you set the tone, you let your expectations be known as to what you want.
Mm-hmm.
to do.
Did you meet with your department chairpersons to see what was being taught? Did you have a lot of input?
My department chairperson met bi-weekly. At the beginning of the year, they were given a schedule as to when we would meet with them. If I met with the English department, then I would have the assistant principal or the English department meet with me. I required teachers teaching the same course offerings to meet. For example, English teacher teaching English 101. They would meet to compare notes as to see what direction they were going in. Plus, the ninth grade teachers would meet. Then the 10th grade, 11th, 12th, etc. I wanted the weaker teachers to get input from my stronger teachers. I did that with every department. Some of my weak teachers, I even assigned a strong teacher as their mentor to work with them.
Did you have a problem weeding out those weak teachers?
My goodness, problem. I couldn't weed them out. with one particular person, I finally persuaded her to retire. She had 30-something years in, and she was just waiting around. And she had been weak for 30-some years. When I became principal, why a little black me is going to come in and tell this person, hey, you are not doing an acceptable job, and you have to go. It was very difficult. So you have to handle people like they were kids. I had to handle people like that with kid gloves. I don't know how other principals would handle theirs. Mm-hmm. This myth about firing incompetent teachers, it's just what it is, a myth. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to do unless you have the backing from the top, it will go all the way up to the superintendent.
Mm-hmm. What about discipline?
I had... discipline to most of our time in the senior high school. Sad to say that my minorities were frequented my the offices more than anybody else. We didn't have any more discipline, however, any worse discipline than, in my opinion, than the other schools. But we definitely had our share of discipline. I tried to be cognizant to the needs of our minorities and the majority of people there. But it was difficult. I tried to be fair, firm, and consistent. That was my policy then, and it is my policy now with the students. And usually when people find out that you're going to be fair with them, they tend to accept punishment better than your wishy-washy with mm-hmm. what you do.
Mm-hmm. Did you have one of your assistant principals assigned especially to discipline?
Oh, no.
Or did you handle most of the
problems? No. As I said, I had one administrator for the ninth grade. He handled the attendance and discipline of the ninth grade. And he had a hard job because our ninth grade at my particular school was the worst in the building, because we had to get them oriented to Parkland High School at the time. We had to get, they were just coming out of middle school. They had independence at this place that they'd never had before, having going changing classes every period. Mm-hmm. And another administrator with the 10th graders. And I had the third assistant principal who had the 11th and 12th graders, which was really not that difficult. He had more kids, but they had been with us for longer, so they knew what we were going mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. I was the overseer. I didn't have time by trying to be a manager and a leader. And I had to be both, mm-hmm. running that big school, than to be settled down with discipline. Because that's all I would have had to do for the whole time. Mm-hmm. So what I did, I networked my whole office. Every system printer had its own computer, which tied in to the master computer. Anytime I wanted to know what a student was doing, what his attendance was, his discipline problem, I could punch in his number, and I could get the information off the computer.
Mm-hmm. Transportation.
The buses you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
95% of our minority students rode the bus. I would say maybe 25-30% of our majority students rode the bus. We had 26 buses that ran. I was very strict. I let my kids know that riding the bus was a privilege. And that privilege could be taken away at any time, and in a lot of instances it was taken away. So I didn't have that much, that many problems with the bus, riding the bus. Mm-hmm. We had four activity buses for our athletes to ride home on, or those that played, because a lot of them did not have transportation.
So you were this responsible for supervising overall, but you really didn't have to have direct contact with the bus drivers.
Okay, I see where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. Now, I had an assistant principal over buses. Okay. But in this county, we also have a bus supervisor. He's an independent person. He has an office at my school, but he has two high schools, and he has 14 middle and elementary schools. So hiring the drivers, keeping up their time cards, etc., was his responsibility. The discipline was mine, and we worked well together.
What about the utilization of funds? Where'd you get your funds? How did you spend it? How did you decide to spend it?
Okay, we have what are known as a budget committee. And the budget committee in my school was made from the principal, my athletic director, and some teachers. What I would do at the end of each year would get a budget from all the clubs and organizations at my school. We had major fund drives, candy drives, etc. And we would dole out money to these clubs according to their budget. Now, we would get money from the central office for instruction supplies, for technology supplies, starting the SIMS program. These monies also, when I would spend money for departments, of course I used the department chairpersons in on the decision making of that, and I also had my assistant principals in. I never made a decision by myself about spending money in the school. I always use input from other people so that the money could be spent wisely.
Mm-hmm. Cafeteria management, did you have much?
That's a separate entity in the Winston-Salem Forsyth County School System. It is run by the Director of Food Services. He hires the managers and all of the workers. We just provide a place, the cafeteria, and of course we also provide discipline in the cafeteria, but the running, the operation of it is a separate thing in this county.
What about buildings and grounds?
Buildings and grounds, it's under my control. I had an assistant principal over that area too. I hired by the custodians. Mm-hmm. But I was in control of that. The few years that I was principal there, I was principal at Parkman for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I planted over 100 trees, trying to beautify. The capital was so bland.
Mm-hmm.
It had been there for 20-some years, and no one had ever done anything to the outside of it.
Hmm.
I had been there, like I said, 7 years as an assistant, and I had made a lot of suggestions to the principal about how to improve the to look through the school, but I guess he had other priorities. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I purchased over 100 branch of pear trees, and white and red the state trees.
Dogwood
mm-hmm. trees. Mm-hmm. I planted crepe myrtles, azalea shrubbery, a little flower bed right there at the school to help beautify. To put up a wooden fence around around some of my shrubbery. Mm-hmm. In 3 years, like I said, I was there. When I took over, we had one copier for 80-some teachers. In 3 years, when I left, at the end of last year, we had 7 copiers. Mm-hmm. We had 2 laser printers. I had networked every office in the school, from the guidance to the attendance to the administrative offices with computers. I was working on the library when they decided to move me, trying to automate the library up. It's just so much that you have to do. working in the high school is awesome, come to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much that you have to do. Mm-hmm. And I worked on Saturdays and Sundays. I think my first year as principal, I took 1 day vacation that summer. I took about 3 days my second year. So I've never really had any vacation time until this year.
Until this year.
Mm-hmm. You know, then you have all these, you're at school every night, because if you don't have PTA meeting, you have an executive board meeting. You're having basketball games, a volleyball game. You're having something all the time.
All the time.
So it's really an awesome responsibility.
What do you think the relationship of Parkland was to the community?
It was not what it used to be, because it's not a neighborhood school. When you're busing in, the blacks and the whites are driving in, with the school limits being excuse me, all the way down to the Davidson County line.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time we went all the way to the city limits of High Point. The community is just so big that you don't have the relationship that you would want, but that was something we were working on. You don't have the, once the neighborhood school concept left, then I think a lot of parents decided, hey, that's not my school anymore, you know, we're so far from it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have PTA meetings, and you would have more teachers there than parents, because first of all, minority, unless you ran a bus
uh-huh.
for the minority parents, they couldn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
And you would always see the parents that you didn't need to see.
Mm-hmm.
The kid that's making the A's and B's, they would be there every time.
Yeah, the good news.
The problem children, you wouldn't see their parents. Mm-hmm. So the community's not as tight as maybe it could be.
How much administrative power and control did you think you had over that school site and your responsibilities?
That's a sort of a nebulous question there. When you say principal, you would say all powerful. I would say I probably had more than what I thought I had, I would imagine. but I don't believe I had as much as my forebears had, say 20 years ago, when principals could literally hire and fire and all those things. You can't really do that now. You can recommend. Mm-hmm. And that's all you can do. But you have control. You have 75% control over curriculum and how that's going to go about, although you have people in central office who are, I quote, experts mm-hmm. in that area. Mm-hmm. But you have control of your school on in certain areas on what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. How did the desegregation of schools affect your role as a principal?
Well, you know, I was a teacher when schools first desegregated. I was the first in many instances. I was the first black teacher when I first started in Kernsville. You know Kernsville, you pass through every day. I was at the junior high school there. I was the only black teacher there, first black teacher there. I think we had about two or three black kids. Then I was the first black assistant principal at Mount Tabor High School. Then I was the first black assistant principal at West Forsyth High School. Then I was the first black principal at Parkland High School. So I've been the first black in many instances. But I think that with integration, I think it has hurt minority population. I think that whereas people respected educators, because usually the same teacher that taught your mother mm-hmm. or father taught you. Mm-hmm. So you went home and say, "Mom, Dad, Mrs. Brown doesn't like me." She wouldn't get on the phone to get in her car and drive that Christmas Brown out. Mm-hmm. She would ask you why and then go from there and work on you mm-hmm. and make you more, make you nicer so that Miss Brown would like you or whatever. I think that plus with integration, the minorities have felt the burden of integration with the busing out, and that has taken the school away from the parent and from the community, and they don't feel a part of the total education program that they once felt. I do think, however, that there are some pluses to integration. Since this is an integrated world, it's good that kindergarten, that blacks and whites can be together and grow up and learn more about one another. I think the most damaging thing to it all is the lifestyles of our community has changed. So we have an awful lot of one parent families. I'm not downing the mother, because most of them keep the children. They do an excellent job, most of them, with them. But I think it's two can do better than one. So I think the lifestyle has a lot to do with our society. And I think that you just can't start education in school. Education starts at home. started conception. We have to be ready for, we have to be receptive to school when we go there. And if we don't take anything to school, we can't bring anything back.
Mm-hmm. Did you find any differences in the supervision of black teachers and supervising the white ones?
Sure. At every school I've worked in, my black teachers, I would say 95% of them were excellent disciplinarians. Excellent. And I don't care if they were 3 feet tall. They demanded respect from those kids, and they got respect from those kids. And you could not intimidate them. They would not be intimidated. Now you have, well, I'll say it like this. A lot of our black teachers couldn't do anything but teach at certain times, so they were strong. They were the cream of the crop.